Hello and welcome to Beautiful Losers, the comic book movie and TV news podcast. My name is Emcos, and with me, as always, is my partner, Iris.
Yes, and I'm sorry if I get distracted because there's like the banging of the walls, so the zombies that are kind of within the walls of this asbestos-ridden facility are concerning me.
Yeah, there's something going on somewhere in this library, and they're making a lot of sounds.
Which is not normal for a library.
Not really, but we will carry on. Mm-hmm. Because that's what we do.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm good. Okay, this is our second time recording.
We're trying to be organic.
Yeah. We're doing it on a different recording system now because the last one made us sound like we were screeching into the microphone.
Which we normally do, but it just wasn't good quality.
No. This time we were just talking and it made us screech.
Exactly. It sounded like kind of like those survival logs you see in a freaking alien movie.
Yeah. This week we've been kind of out of it because we have been making big news ourselves rather than reporting news.
We've been creating.
We've been
the ruckus.
Creating the ruckus. We're proud because maybe you're listening to us on iTunes.
So all those pretentious iPhone users, me included, out there can now subscribe to the podcast and not have to deal with SoundCloud and sometimes its glitchiness.
Exactly. And
we love SoundCloud. We're still hosting there.
No, yeah. And
please sponsor.
Many people have brought it to my attention that I say exactly so much on the podcast. I can't help it.
It's true.
It's natural.
We can't help some things because we do have, not nervous takes, but kind of our catchphrases,
it's
so
our
to speak. It's kind of like we're built-in drinking games. But if drinking games, if you want to just not remember anything at the end of the podcast,
yeah, just take a drink. Take a drink whenever I say.
Take a sip of your juice box.
Exactly, or Exacto, or any other variation on.
We want to get sponsored by Exacto knife.
We're trying to get sponsored by Exacto knife. But yeah, that's probably the biggest piece of our news until maybe later, where we have
that and
more
in the last
up.
Week we got the new graphics in. And when
that
I say new
true.
Graphics in, I posted them.
Yes, we have new pictures, we have new logos and profile pictures and banners and all
the
that
whole
jazz.
Remodel.
We did a good remodel.
And it's a lovely makeover.
It's a good makeover because all the other logos were made by me on my phone.
And it's
now
an Android
have,
phone,
and
mind
exactly,
you.
And now we have a good computer program.
Called Photoshop.
Called Photoshop. It's innovative. I don't know what you're talking about. All right, so let's get right into the news. Let's start with Marvel real quick. This news shook me.
We are shook here because it went up, it went down, it went around.
Yeah, and it's adorable because Kevin Feige and Tom Holland went on an interview and Tom Holland was like, so you've seen Iron Man 2, right? Remember that little kid that stands up against that big robot? That's Peter Parker. And Kevin Feige's like, yeah.
That's Kevin Feige within the last 2 weeks. It's
Kevin
just kind of like everyone
has been passive about everything these past 2 weeks. So
I don't think he has a choice.
He's all right. It's good. I mean, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't change the story or anything. It just
right.
makes it cute. It makes it.
It was adorable, and now people are like posting the still from Iron Man 2 everywhere because it's a little kid with an Iron Man helmet and the glove and all of that, and it's adorable.
It is. It's great. To know that,
Spider-Man's
been
works.
Here all along.
Yes, he was Spider-Man's since he was along. A fetus.
Exactly.
He's still kind of a fetus, but you know,
he's older than us.
I know, but he's adorable.
He's
older than me, but I looked at him and was like, you could be my son.
Yeah, another thing with the Spider-Man movies is that Venom. Venom? I have it written here on our trusty whiteboard that makes an appearance every episode. Venom? With a question mark at the end?
It's always an interrogative. It never fails. Venom has us around for kind of an emotional roller coaster here.
I don't know what's going on. Amy Pascal was just had an interview with Kevin Feige for I don't even know what who it was
this
for.
Always happens with Kevin Feige.
Yeah, Kevin Feige was just so passive about it, and Amy Pascal was just like, and now Venom, Black Cat, and Silver Sable are part of the MCU, and then Kevin Feige looks at her like, what?
Kevin Feige has become this kind of Marvel, head of Marvel meme that every time he does that face,
yeah.
I just imagine the face of Goofy with
it's
doing the hell nah.
The oh nah. It's just you can't say me, but it's like
no.
It's just a look.
Yeah,
just
I know
like,
you guys
what?
Imagined it and it's if whatever you imagined he did is probably that. What
I
did.
It doesn't really matter, does it? But to clarify, Amy Pascal later said, no, I didn't mean to throw him under the bus. What we meant to say is that Venom, Black Cat, and Silver Sable are going to be part of the MCU, but not directly in the MCU.
They're going to be, you know,
quote unquote,
in the universe, but not in the universe, if you feel me.
So you're not going to see, you know, Venom and Carnage roll up into a Captain America movie. But what you might end up seeing is Avengers Tower in the back,
kind
in the
of background. Like a, you know, how Netflix does with their series. Always exactly. sees the Avengers Tower.
Just
kind of like Easter eggs like that, but it's not a really direct cameo. I mean, it, I guess it could be possible, but it is not likely.
It could be possible in the future, but right now with the way Sony and Marvel have, they're working together, but there's still a bit of tension. We might not be seeing these characters in the MCU directly for a good long while, which, give it some time, give it a break. It can, let it sit, let it grow on its own, and then add it to it. I don't mind that.
We want it to grow, not to fester, like Sony tends to do.
Drink. Kevin Feige also said with Amy Pascal that they are taking a break on the Osborns in the Spider-Man movie universe.
Which is good news.
It's very good news. Because we've had the Osborns be a problem within the Sam Raimi-averse, the first three Spider-Man movies. I was going to say Spider-Man. The Spider-Man movies. And then we see that roll over into the Andrew Garfield movies where with Oscorp being part, basically Oscorp was the main antagonist throughout both movies.
Yeah, even if the we actually got to see Harry Osborn in the second movie, it's just kind of like, you know, Oscorp is always this whole, they're trying to be the Wayne Enterprises sort of thing.
But like evil.
But evil. What's the, I know.
LexCorp.
Thank you.
They're like the LexCorp of the Marvel Universe.
Right, but they were kind of milking that, so I am very happy that they're gonna skip it this time around, because we have a different Spider-Man. We have not only a different Spider-Man, we have Spider-Man in the MCU. So I'm very happy to see different characters, because Spider-Man has so many, like, cool villains.
Just give it a break. We don't need to see the weird mutant version of Green Goblin, or the Power Rangers version of Green Goblin. You know, if
or
we
James
can,
Franco by that.
If we can just get classic rubber suit, leather suit, or whatever,
whatever material he prefers
for Green Goblin, it's fine. You know,
we're not that picky. We just don't want to have it shoved down our throats.
This is more of a comic accurate Spider-Man universe, so it could work out. Still on Marvel before we move into
DC,
Star Wars actually. Before we move into Star Wars, I want to mention that Infinity War has dropped production and set photos. And
which are beautiful.
They're amazing. We can see the characters in their new costumes.
And they're all, practically all there. And it's kind of, it's really exciting because we know they're going to be on screen. And we mentioned this last week that Scarlett Johansson, you know, mentioned to Stephen Colbert, was it? That we're going to get 30 plus heroes in an action scene and then 60 plus heroes on just the screen there. Alone. Just there. Just kind of sitting there in like an AA movie?
Meeting. An AA movie.
That, you know, that
it's Iron Man 4.
That's what I was gonna go for. That's kind of like the continuation of Iron Man 3. But anyways, as I was saying, so it was really fun to actually see that happening, and also a fun tidbit that, you know, it gave me a giggle. It gave me a good old chuckle to see just a random dude on set holding the Iron Man helmet and torso. And I would just like to confirm that all of these theories of Andy Serkis playing all mocap characters cannot be denied.
Andy Serkis.
I want that. I want that as my AI for the next iPhone. Andy Siri.
And Andy Siri. Andy Serkis confirmed for Beta Ray Bill. Why not?
Why not?
Yeah.
It wouldn't be out there.
No, and then we see something really interesting that caught my eye on Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark. His shirt has a hole for the arc reactor, which we saw get ditched in Iron Man 3. So what is going on?
Are you okay, Tony? Do you need new shirts?
Tony, we know you listen.
We know you listen, Mr. Stark.
I'll donate another shirt to you.
I make shirts. It's okay. You know, if you need like one of those iron-on patches that you get at Walmart, that's okay.
A little bit of self-promo here. Iris makes shirts.
Soon I actually do.
Soon we're going to be having Beautiful Losers merch.
Soon. Eventually. Hopefully by the end of the year.
Exactly.
We'll have some like some cool merch.
Hopefully by the end of the summer.
That would be amazing, yeah.
Yes. Don't hold us to that.
No, but, don't hold us to that because we are actually taking like summer school.
Yeah, if not it comes, that we're, then,
you know, willfully doing this, but it's just that's how the schedule worked out. So yeah, yes.
that's another issue for another podcast.
Yeah. So yeah.
Let's move on to Star Wars.
What was Star Wars news?
Just Ron Howard.
Oh yeah.
We got Ron Howard.
That's how exciting it was. What was
it? Sure. Ron Howard is gonna be the new Han Solo puppet, because I guess Marvel was like, no, what? Lord and Miller have actual ideas? No.
How dare they?
Be our puppets. And Ron Howard was like, I can do that. And everyone's like, okay. That's so, it. That's how the whole conversation went verbatim.
That's it. That's the news. Ron Howard's the new director for Solo?
Son Holo.
There we go. Moving on.
Are we excited about that?
Yeah.
All right.
That's how every girl ends their date, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
That went well. Anyways. All right.
DC. D. Freaking C.
There's a lot going on here.
Yeah. So we can all remember, I don't know when it came out, what, 2011 maybe?
Mm.
Watchmen.
No, Watchmen was 2009, man. It's been a while.
Anyway. Watchmen was 2009. 2009
was not a good year.
It was a bad one. I didn't love that movie, but we're gonna make mention to that later.
Yeah.
But the more important news is Watchmen is in the news because HBO is working on a series,
which is fun. Like I'm personally a huge Game of Thrones fan and also an HBO series fan in general. Like I love Westworld and Silicon Valley, etc. So
Sex and the City and
no
Entourage.
No, we don't talk about those. But, you know, I'm very excited to see HBO kind of picking up the trend that Netflix has kind of set down because, you know, Netflix has their superhero movies, but it's kind of this movie. It's the series.
Yeah.
Like a more premium, I'd like to say. Yeah. So to have a DC...
It's like the more hardcore level.
Right. And it's not going to be censored or anything, especially for Watchmen, because we all know HBO and Watchmen are probably going to be like, don't let your kids do this. Not even the adults.
Yeah, no, so, exact.
Exact. Yeah, you can't say that without distracting me and just being like, ha ha ha, why?
Anyway.
Right.
Watchmen, I'm excited for it. I want to see it be very vibrant. I want to see it work out. I don't know how they would...
Hopefully it'll be vibrant and not another Rainyverse because...
Yeah.
I would assume they would be in the DCU.
I am hoping that they make it part of the DC movie
because it would
universe.
Make sense. Because if they want this, you know, quality, I'm expecting. When HBO, I expect quality because these people have the budget. So it would make sense to me to have this quality movie-esque series to be included in the universe. And maybe even, you know, cameo in the actual mainstream films someday. Like Netflix has talked about doing with the characters on the MCU.
Yeah. And, putting Watchmen in the DC universe is not an impossible thing. They don't have to show up in every movie. They don't mm-hmm. have to be mentioned in these movies.
They don't have to be shoved in your face.
Because you have to remember that the DC universe and the Marvel universe, at that, they are multiverses.
Mm-hmm.
Both are separate multiverse. So you can have the Watchmen exist in this alternate universe, and then eventually down the line, if you want to go through a point
mm-hmm.
or... Even, I have it written there on the board, a war on two Earths,
mm-hmm.
or, sorry, crisis on two Earths. I spelled it wrong. I put that down wrong.
You put a lot of acronyms.
I put a lot of acronyms because this board is bigger than the boards that we've had, but I just decided to write bigger.
So we can see.
And if we want to go
kind of blind.
If we want to go to the route of Rebirth, which even though it just happened, you know, it wouldn't be a bad idea.
Yeah, because I know Rebirth just happened, but it would work out because by the time we get to these storylines, Rebirth will have been matured by that time.
And Rebirth is centered around Dr. Manhattan messing up the DC universe, so it works if you want to end up linking the Watchmen with the DCEU.
That would be fun.
And the DCEU seems to be getting funner. more fun.
That's listen, the DCU in the last, what, 4 or 5 years that it's been around? What, yeah. When did Man of Steel come out? 2013?
I think so, yeah. Actually, yeah, it's been 2013.
So 4 years. We've had this DCU. And we've been disappointed up until
Wonder Woman.
Yeah,
we've had four. We've had four movies. We've had three bad ones
and one
good one.
Great one. So,
one great one, exactly.
A great one, because BVS was okay compared to the other ones.
Yeah, exactly. That's what happens.
But when you say good in comparison to the others,
it just means it's not as bad. But we have Wonder Woman, which was amazing, and you can hear more about that on our first episode.
Exactly.
Anyway, world seems to be getting more fun, because while Marvel gave Lord and Miller the boot on Han Solo, they just shimmied their way on over to DC, and they were like, well, we got the Flash, while he moonwalked into Warner Brothers Studios.
Honestly, I can see that happening, and I can see them signing the contract, because that would be fun. I wouldn't mind, and if the Han Solo movie does come out as promised, you know, so to speak, that it's going to be good, it's a fun sort of, then again, that we also have some comments on that, because apparently they want to take it in the direction of having Han Solo be more like an Ace Ventura.
An Ace Ventura type, like comedy on everything and talking with his butt cheeks.
Right, so
let's not have that, please.
If push comes to shove and we do get a good movie, I would be excited to see something like fun like that for a Flash movie.
Yeah, because I've always mentioned that the Flash is kind of this jokester Spider-Man type in the DC EU, where he'll be fighting somebody, and he'll be like fighting Captain Cold.
He'll try to be witty.
He'll be fighting Captain Cold, and he'll be like, "Whoa, bro, you need to chill," making jokes like that. And Lord and Miller, they're good with cheesy jokes because they're the ones behind the best version of Batman, Lego Batman.
That's literally the best incarnation of Batman. Having Will Arnett just parody Batman the entire way through.
They have this amazing like grasp onto it. And you can notice in all their movies, a lot of the jokes are ad-libbed. A lot of the jokes are just... They're improvised.
Right, and they flow more naturally. They make you laugh. They're fun. So definitely good news ahead.
I'm all for it. Lord and Miller for Flash gets my vote.
Mm-hmm.
Next bit of news. I saw this on comicbookmovie.com. I just saw the title because it came up on my Twitter feed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, Warner Brothers talking about Red Sun movie. Which is, if you guys aren't aware of that, Red Sun is an alternate universe where Superman, instead of landing in Kansas, he landed in Soviet Russia.
This goes into political territory
He falls into Soviet Russia and gets raised by Russians and basically fights for Soviet, you know,
ideals. He fights
ideals.
For communism.
He fights with Soviet ideals. And I read that and I go, oh, this is the next installment of the animated movies. As soon as I open it, it says Warner Brothers talking about live action Red Sun, and I just whisper to myself, no.
Just like, look, hold on. He explained this to me in further detail, because I have not read this story yet in its entirety about Red Sun. And what was it that Batman wears?
Batman wears those like fuzzy Russian caps where it's like hair, and he has the full Batman suit, and he has that cap on.
Everything's the same except for
the fuzzy cap, and he actually wears like a fur coat.
Oh Lord!
And then Wonder Woman is still as naked as always, except cold.
Except she can't wear a cloak and have it be enough.
Yeah, I hope that if they're gonna make this a thing in the live action averse, make it like a dream sequence for 10 minutes in another movie.
10 minutes is a lot.
It's
are
a long
kidding?
Time, but it, don't just put it, I mean, I wouldn't put it in for 10 seconds either.
That's
because it's like, how are you going to be like a screen of Henry Cavill with the hook and sickle on his chest?
Lord,
it's like, it's gone? What happened? Explain this. Explain Soviet Batman.
Explain. Does this, you know, what happened here? Were we hacked? No.
It's like, did I blink?
Exactly. So, yeah, hopefully, another hope for that is that they do, if they're going to make a live action of this story, let it be further down the line in the franchise.
Yeah.
Because with Wonder Woman, we've established the universe a little better because we get more of an origin story and all that, this and that. But it's still a bit shaky because I I don't know. I feel like people, the audience isn't ready to see such a drastic change in universe yet.
Yeah, you put in a story like Red Sun, and I mention this all the time, the normies will be confused.
Exactly.
The normies are going to look in and they're going to be like...
And it's going to be controversial.
Yeah, it'll be like, why is Batman and why are all these characters like Russian now? And they're mm-hmm. going to be confused, like... They're right. not going to look at it and be like, oh, yeah, this is the Red Sun story arc.
They're going to look at it and say, you know, it's going to be those same people that complained about Wonder Woman not being American enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
So well, you're going to turn all of these characters Russian and everyone's just going to just kind of lose it.
Donald Trump will love it.
Next topic.
Anyway, even more controversial than Donald Trump. Drake Bell posted a picture on Twitter, which actually confused me because I was on Twitter the other day and I literally blinked and I missed it because Drake Bell showed up on my feed and he only posted a picture of the Robin symbol.
That's it. That's it. The tweet.
That's it. And I say, what?
Why?
I click on his name. I click on his handle and I go through all his tweets from like the past 5 days.
Mm-hmm. So you stalked him.
Basically looking for that picture again to make sure that I wasn't going crazy. So after I just resigned and said I should go institutionalize myself, I see on Comic Book Movie, Comic Book Resource this time, on Comic Book Resource, it says Drake Bell to play Robin and CW, and I say, oh my god, thank god, I'm not crazy.
Thank god I'm not crazy, but oh no.
No, I don't like this.
No, like we all know about the whole controversy about, you know, Drake and Josh and the wedding thing. No one, honestly, I don't care. However,
it's coming to light. It's coming to light that Drake Bell is kind of like a crappy human being.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't.
Nor is he.
I don't have the full. I don't have the full news on it, but I don't think from what I know and from what I've read and seen, he's not the greatest human being, and he's also not the greatest actor.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like what has he done that's kind of, you know, made an imprint? And he has potential.
Like, what did he do to make Greg Berlanti look at him and go, that's it, he's my Robin? Like, why? Has Greg Berlanti lost his mind?
I don't know.
That's the question.
I think he's had a few too many of whatever he's taking.
He's had a few too many starting all these series out of nowhere. Like, we started with Arrow and then Flash, and then we get Legends of Tomorrow and Supergirl at the same time. It's like, what?
It's a lot to take in, and then when you have so many series going on at the same time that do so many crossover episodes, like it's Disney Channel in 2006.
Like, I was fine when The Flash did the Arrow and Flash crossover, because that's two episodes that you have to go into. But this new season, you had to look at four. It's a four-part, like,
it was a lot.
Thing, and I'm like, I don't want to watch this.
It almost becomes a chore.
I watched the one crossover episode that was based around The Flash. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to go into everything else.
But whatever. It's just, we're kind of indifferent / borderline pissed on that.
Whatever. Like, Drake Bell's going to be Robin, I guess. Sure.
It's still not confirmed.
It's still not confirmed, but... Then I mentioned last week that Beast Boy might be Asian. It's written down, but I don't see why he can't be Latino. I would like to be Beast Boy. Make me Beast Boy, Greg Berlanti.
He eats a lot and he's kind of, you know, he's civilized in some points. He's okay.
I'm house trained. I can pee in a toilet.
Exactly.
I've been able to for a while. Last bit of news to get right into the topic. Death Note, Netflix's Death Note.
This is more your territory.
Movie. This is my territory because I'm more of the weeaboo.
Mm-hmm. I'm like getting anime. Into it ever so slowly, but it's never been my forte. Like the strongest, and I think this is the majority of people that say, it's like, oh, the most anime I've seen is Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Yeah, exactly. That's Chinese anyway. Mm-hmm. But that's another thing.
That's another thing.
Death Note. I have my own problems with Death Note, the movie on Netflix, and I'm just gonna list them down really quick. Number one, why a movie? Make it a series. It could work. You could have switched the roles of 13 Reasons Why and Death Note. Make 13 Reasons Why a movie, make Death Note a series. You would have fixed it.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing, I don't really care about the whitewashing. I don't care. It's whatever. It's another thing. His name's not Light. His name's not Light Yagami.
Yeah,
it's fine. He's not Asian. Nobody's Asian. L is black. Cool.
We discussed this last week. I understand there were some reasons for the problem in whitewashing this guy because of the character itself, but that's like an entirely different story.
Yeah, it's funny because people freaked out because they were like, "What? Light Yagami is white now? You cast Willem Dafoe as the Japanese death god?" And then when they saw L was black, they're like, "Wait." We can't complain about this because then it's racist. Then it's racist if they complain about it.
It's a very fine line.
So I don't care. Anyway, mm-hmm. The news that we got for Death Note was that a new poster came out,
mm-hmm.
which is showing Willem Dafoe's character Ryuk kind of in silhouette with everything is kind of black and white etches. He has the apple like falling into his hand.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get a good look at Ryuk's face, but I'm not getting a lot of Willem Dafoe's face in that either. So I don't know if they're going to full CG him or what's going to happen.
Hire Andy Serkis.
Or just hire Andy Serkis to mocap for him.
That's it. That's the series. That's
the series. And it's... I don't know when it comes out. I think I have it here on the computer.
Mm. Wait, that's not the series. It's a movie.
Yeah. Movie. I keep saying series because I hope it's a series.
Right.
It's supposed to be coming out in...
August.
This
it's
August.
It's actually like cool. 2 weeks after Defenders comes out, yeah. Which
and 3 days,
boy,
and
we
three
are going
days to binge
after
that. After my birthday.
Aww.
That's cool. You're Thank
old.
You, Netflix, for ruining my life. All right.
3 days
so,
later.
Right into the topic. We saw Transformers this week. So, right off the bat, what do you rate this? Because I gave it a straight loser.
It's not even a loser.
It's just below loser. It's a loser. Just leave it at loser to be
yeah.
nice.
It's a loser.
It's a loser movie.
It's a loser, but it's like that loser that you can't even have fun with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, imagine if you took Transformers 1 through 4 and did it again, but worse.
Like, in one movie.
In one movie. You have... Number 4's gimmick was like, look at us, we have Transformer dinosaurs. Mm. Number 5's gimmick is like, look at us, we have a Transformer dragon. Okay.
That's it. That's the movie. That and Anthony Hopkins.
Mr. Hopkins. Sir Anthony Hopkins.
We know you
Why?
Listen. Honestly, I this is my theory. Because you can tell that he had fun with the role. Like, he couldn't care less about this story.
Even though he's talking to, like, 8 giant Andy Serkises.
Exactly. However... He's an old man.
He's an old man.
He's, you know, he is an artist. He knows what
He's
actual...
He's an actor's actor.
Exactly. He knows what an actual role is supposed to be. I think he's just here, A, for the money, and B, just for the lols.
Yeah,
because
that's
you
can
tell he kind of had fun with it. And I liked him because, not because the jokes were funny. It was, that's how bad it was. There were so many jokes that landed so incredibly flat.
Mm-hmm.
You can land a plane on that.
Yeah.
So,
I the only thing I give Anthony Hopkins here is like, I guess it was maybe like a challenge because it's like,
yeah.
Oh, people regard me as one of the best actors in the world. Put me in this crap movie. Maybe I can make it work.
That and not only a crap movie, but a movie where you have to really act and stare at green everything.
Yeah.
Just green screens. Just fake
Andy
things.
Serkises everywhere.
And you have to act like that's Andy Serkis.
So, in honor of Transformers and this being the last installment of Michael Bay's Transformer, which is one thing.
That's one thing.
He drove this franchise to the ground and now he's making a swift exit. So, whoever has to pick up the pieces for the Bumblebee spin-off movie has just this burning piece of garbage in front of him.
You just kind of have to kinda,
or
like,
she,
fan the flames.
Or she, because I'm not sure. Whoever, they have this flaming piece of garbage franchise and they have to be like, ah, let me fix this.
Mm-hmm.
So
if they want to fix it.
Thank
they
you, Michael Bay,
that,
for nothing. So in honor of that, we are talking...
In honor of that, the theme for this week is just that.
Crap franchises and crap movies that either should not keep going or we are glad did not get a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Or may not ever get a sequel again.
Ever.
And my first choice here is, and we already mentioned Transformers,
mm-hmm.
my... Next choice is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Why?
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 Like, I was never... See, okay, here's the thing. I'm not as huge a fan as you are as
Hi.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Hi. This is this guy. He's a nerd. So, But I did grow up with that and Power Rangers. Like, I wasn't obsessed with it, but I knew of it, and I appreciated it. We grew up in that generation. And, you know, even if you weren't a huge fan, when you see it messed up, it's kind of like, oh.
It's depressing.
You don't want to see this, you know. It was fun. It's a fun story.
Yeah, I mean.
And you have these nice characters, and then you just see them not care.
Yeah, the first movie in the live-action one, which also was directed by Michael Bay, it was okay. It wasn't great. It was okay. Don't give me Michael... Not Michael Fox. Megan Fox. I like Michael Fox. Michael J. Fox is a good man.
He's a good man.
Anyway, you put Megan Fox in this universe, and you put her as April O'Neil, who's supposed to be this down-to-earth, homely person, and you put her as Megan Fox? No, thank
you. Yeah, no. And, it was literally Transformers 1.
Exactly. It was Transformers 1
with Turtles. The hot chick with the action guys, but she kind of knows things.
With Turtles. Smart. And if we want to talk about really bad whitewashing this time, number one starts it off, and it's like, I'm Shredder, says the white guy.
Very, very casual.
Yeah, he's like, I'm Shredder, the white man says.
That's the script.
That's it. Ah, whatever.
We even get exhausted.
It's a story about four giant turtles who defend New York by kicking people. How do you mess it up?
It's a pretty simple storyline.
And then my favorite characters. I have my three favorite characters in all of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are Bebop, Rocksteady, and Krang, which were all introduced and destroyed in the second movie.
It was a 3-for-1.
I am praying to the movie gods that they take away Michael Bay's like directing license.
Just listen.
Just don't.
Just give him the DUIs, but for directing, please.
Yeah, it should be actually. I think that should be a rule. Like, after four bad movies in a row, you should
not
be like forced to take like a 2-year gap. From everything, from even like
looking at Hollywood. Are we legislating like the movie industry?
Like, honestly, like I'm saying, like you have a director like M. Night Shyamalan who's up next, who has like who you can have like five bad movies in a row, but people still decide to throw their money at them.
Like, I don't get it. We have so many great directors that are so underfunded, and it just makes the industry that much more frustrating.
Yeah.
Speaking of M. Night Shyamalan, ding dong.
Yeah, I wrote there M. Nick Sandbag.
Same thing.
It was M. Night Shyamalan. M. Night Shyamalan's Avatar The Last Airbender series. Remember how I mentioned that these are movies that we would wish would end?
Mm-hmm.
We thought it was over. We're getting another one soon.
And this I actually liked.
I love this series. I grew up on the series. I watched the series back and forth like twice or three times. Plus the
Legend of Korra.
Plus Legend of Korra, which was amazing. Like, and we're getting a third generation of it. Yes.
Ah!
We're getting a third one, which is going to be amazing.
Can you tell I've just kind of been out of it this week? Because I hope goodness news.
And then M. Night Shyamalan's like, yes, awesome. I'm making another one. And people are like, no, stop. Please. Just stop.
You can't see me, but I'm doing the timeout.
Timeout,
please.
Don't do that thing.
Stop.
It's just...
It's very frustrating. That's all we can do. Like, we can't even articulate, you know, constructive criticism. No.
Constructive criticism here. It was a not good movie. I liked it because when it came out, I was like 10 maybe. I don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is Avatar The Last Airbender in person. And then I grew up a bit and I was like, this is bad.
Very bad. I didn't even, you know, at least you liked it in the beginning. I didn't. I was a pretentious child, let's be real. But I went and saw it. I didn't even pay to see the movie theaters. I saw it with the trailer.
We were children.
Yeah, we were children, but with the trailer on its own, I was just like, nah, I don't like this.
No, it was a bad idea. It was a bad director. Honestly, in better hands, it could have worked. It could have worked with Edgar Wright, who's somebody that we'll talk about.
I'm just going to take off my glasses.
That we'll talk about later, because I am a big fan of Edgar Wright. We're going to talk about him in a bit after the whole topic, but
yeah,
I think he would have been great for that instead of M. Night Sandbag.
Yeah. lots of ideas now just kind of flowing in my head about directors and stuff. But yeah, moving on. Another franchise that was crappy, and you know what? We deserved better because we were rooting for them at one point. The Spider-Man. We mentioned the Spider-Man, but we had not only one, but two failed franchises.
One ended up
Sony,
being a trilogy.
Sony, what up?
Stop doing that thing where you make bad movies.
Please, just, you know, check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Sam Raimi's Spider-Man 1 was weird. It was just cringy, and people just accepted it for the time. Then Spider-Man 2 is one of the best movies ever created, if I'm honest with you. Spider-Man 3.
That I can see, but, like, even then.
But that's the thing. It was perfect. Like, Spider-Man 2 is amazing for when it came out.
Right. That is true. In that era, Spider-Man was top of the line. Because we didn't have an MCU. We had none of that. We were children.
It was just, you know, seeing...
We were appreciative.
It was just seeing your favorite superhero and your favorite supervillains punch it out. On screen. It was a fun time. And then Spider-Man 3 came out, and we got emo Peter Parker, and that was awkward, and that was weird, and no one liked it.
Even when I was 9 when I saw that. It was even awkward then. I was like, no.
No good. It was no bueno.
And then Andrew Garfield came along.
And kind of brought back the whole emo Peter Parker aesthetic, but forever.
Yeah, it was kind of emo hipster. It's kind of like that hipster that goes into Hot Topic that one time.
He went to Hot Topic once, and now he's Darks.
Exactly. Hashtag Darks. But hashtag yeah, those two movies were that.
Darks. I wish it were better. And I'm glad that it's getting a reboot with MCU at the helm. Although I really would have liked to see where the universe was going, just better. Because it was building up
to something,
and I still want to know who that Shadow Man that came up in both movies was, and that just it
had plot.
it had plot. It had potential. It saw itself becoming a franchise. It's just not going to be.
Fortunately, we got a reboot.
We're getting a reboot.
Enough.
We're getting a good one, and it's being regarded as the best superhero movie
in general
since Spider-Man 2.
So
this is
very exciting.
Very exciting.
We're going to watch it next week, so stay tuned for that. We are going to lose it.
We're
going to
watch it next week. And actually, next week, our topic, I ran it by you. I want it to be, we're going to talk about Spider-Man. In particular, his rogues gallery. Because there's a saying in comics that says, if they're not Spider-Man or Batman, their rogues gallery is crap.
Wow.
The best rogues gallery, you will find it in Batman and in Spider-Man. So we're going to talk about the best and the worst in Spider-Man's rogues gallery next week. Because the movie comes out after we record the week's episode.
Oh, yeah,
so,
that's true. It's actually literally the day after, but you're going to be listening to the podcast probably on Friday.
You'll be listening to the podcast the day after the movie comes out.
We're recording it
the day before the movie comes out. Anyway. Let's go into Watchmen. We mentioned Watchmen getting an HBO series, which is very good. The movie was not very good. And I wish upon a star that this movie was not as bad as it was. And I wish that Watchmen hadn't come out, because then I probably would have been more excited about the HBO series.
Right.
Because
it already set this precedent, like, oh no, that's old. Can you mark that?
No.
Anyways,
we were distracted.
Anyways,
the Watchmen HBO series. I'd be more excited. I'm very excited for it, but I'd be more excited
had it not been ruined,
and the plot was changed, and characters were changed, and
everything was changed.
And like one of my biggest criticisms, which is something that I came across. And was actually mentioned on another podcast that I listened to, that the character of the comedian, he was, like, in the comics, it's like, oh, he killed JFK, he did it, he killed JFK, but no one ever confirms it. You know, it's more like a speculative thing, and in reality, he was actually really close friends with JFK, and was looking, and part of his mission was, like, to find the assassin or whatever.
Okay.
But in the Watchmen movie, you know, JFK's head gets blown off, and you see comedian disassembling his sniper in the middle of middle of the grassy knoll. It's like that's not how it goes.
Like, there's a lot of potential, and I'm not gonna put in too much of my opinion on this because I never actually finished watching the Watchmen movie in its entirety.
Who watches the Watchmen?
Not Iris. Not Iris, because, I don't know, I kind of gave up on it, like, halfway through. It was just one of those times. You know, like, when you flip through the channels and the FX has its reruns of movies from 10 years ago? Okay. It was kind of that situation, and I was not into it at all. Like, I'm going to start... Actually, my brother just got this huge collection of the Watchmen comics, so I'm going to start reading those. So I can kind of prepare for the HBO series. Because I am excited for that. Like, I think I've heard of these characters, and I think that it's a really interesting universe to kind of, you know, dive into.
Yeah, it's a good universe, it's a good read, it's a good watch. Honestly, the Watchmen graphic novel, like the original one,
mm-hmm.
is just, it's so good. It's this one graphic novel that I recommend it to everybody when they're like, hey, give me a gritty book to read. Like, not just mm-hmm. Spider-Man and bright colors, like, give me a dark book to read. Hashtag good darks. Right. But yeah.
Another, like, we're getting close to the end of our list here, so I'm kind of proud of us for staying on topic week, because we got carried away last week. It was... carried away. I'm not gonna lie, I took a shot.
Oh, Jesus.
This is your fault.
We
celebrated.
We ate food at a bar. That's it.
That's
we celebrated for the iTunes thing, and it was very good.
Yes. Anyway, anyways, moving on.
Percy Jackson.
Okay. I know it was bad. I despise it. And I'm going to tell you why it was so bad. I read the series, the first one, when I was 12. So, like, this was kind of my Harry Potter, because I was a fan of this before I was a fan of Harry Potter. So Percy Jackson was my Harry Potter. Don't look at me that way. he's just judging me.
I'm spinning my fidget spinner.
Your fidget spinner's judging me.
It's under the table.
I hate you. So anyways, I was a huge Percy Jackson fan. Stop fidget spinning.
Percy Jackson was a part of our lives.
They're fantastic books when you're a kid. It's fun. And then when I saw the first movie, it was aight. Then the second movie came around. It was blah, blah, blah. We don't talk about that. So yeah, I was so disappointed, because it's one of those stories that had they done a proper, you know, franchise like they did with Hunger Games and all these YA novel series that were actually good, which is only a few. They could have done this so well, because you have really cool characters. It's fun. It's not the most cringy thing ever, unless you see the movie.
Mm-hmm. No, I totally agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
Percy Jackson, I grew up on it. I started off halfway through the series, because it was like a summer reading thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I want to know what happened before this. So I read the whole series. I've continued to read the series like mm-hmm. 3 or 4 times, and I'm starting to read into the newer books, and the books are amazing at any age. And
mm-hmm.
I, being older, makes me realize that, because at the time, you know, I accepted the movie because it was, you know, it's all we had. But then when we're realizing, because like all the adaptations that you would see were kind of along that line of, these are bad, but it's all we have.
Exactly. We're very conformist.
And now that we're realizing that you can actually make good adaptations, we're like, wait a minute.
We have standards.
We could have had a good one. And I'm still pitching. I'm still hoping. If any Netflix big fat cats are listening here, I want to write a Percy Jackson Netflix series alongside Rick Riordan. Like, it would be amazing. I can totally see this universe, like that universe of Percy Jackson and all the other spin-off series that came off Percy Jackson. You know, all those can work as their own individual
mm-hmm.
series on Netflix.
Because I love...
to do kind of a Marvel's Defenders type thing.
But with mythology.
But with Greek and Egyptian
and Norse mythology. And it was just... I love mythology series. I think they're really fun.
Like
and
American
they're very,
Gods.
American Gods, I have to start.
Start it. It's very good. I'm not gonna talk about American Gods until you watch it.
Okay, I'll watch it. That's this weekend's project. You dropped the fidget spinner.
I did no such thing. Care going on. Moving
right
on with the chat.
Yes. Okay, so another one on our list of craft franchises, but I feel like this is an honorable mention.
This is more of an honorable mention because it does not... I wish we could have seen more of this. Mm-hmm. Maybe in a different way. Like, the way it ended was kind of just shoehorned in. But right. The Nolan Batman-averse.
It was good.
I like it. Because, like I said, at the time, it's all we had.
Mm-hmm. But even today, I still watch those movies. And especially The Dark Knight.
No, The Dark Knight is still the best one of the series. Dark Knight Rises was a good one. But But the way it ended was just so...
It wasn't thought out.
It was just kind of, we need to end this now. Mm-hmm. And they just kind of like, all right, we're finishing it with this, and bye. That's it.
Goodbye. We don't have the rights anymore. Yeah. Bye-bye.
And this was more of a, it was very real world Batman, which is what mm-hmm. Christopher Nolan was going for, which is why we didn't get Bane snorting venom gas.
It was the Titan gas.
The Titan, it's Venom.
It's Venom? I thought it was the Titan. I'm still hung up on the Arkham games.
Titan Venom. It changes the name. It's yeah. Titan Venom or something. I don't care.
One of those. But yeah, gas. That stuff. It wasn't exaggerated in the movie. It was a bit more realistic, and some people complained about that. But I was all right with it because just imagine like this kind of Hulk, macho.
Yeah, we would have just ended up. We would have just ended up having another version of Batman and Robin with George Clooney and the other kid who's like 30.
But not Drake Bell.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't talk about that.
But yeah, we like the Batman, the Nolan Batmaniverse. I would not like to see any more because based off the way it ended. But if it had ended differently, I would have liked to see more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like maybe there was a lot maybe they coming off. Done. They could have made They could have spun off into a Dick Grayson movie. They could mm-hmm. have spun off into an Alfred Origins movie. Mm-hmm. Like
because they did have the Robin. They kind of teased, oh, this guy's Robin.
But they made it his name anyway.
They made it
his actual birth name. Like,
yeah,
whatever.
I don't know. But, you know, I kind of like the idea of Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Good
Jogolev.
Lord. Jogolev.
Mr. Jogolev,
we know you listen, and you as Robin.
I like you, period.
But I think you would have been a good Robin too.
Excuse me. All right, there was just somebody banging on the wall. Anyway, next on our list makes every list that we have mentioned these past three episodes.
We have no mercy. It cannot save itself.
We bash this movie so much, and I feel like. When we end up doing audio commentaries for movies, I feel like we're going to end up making an audio commentary for Suicide Squad. Yay!
We deserved better. We were rooting for you, okay? We were rooting for all of you, Suicide Squad, okay? You only gave us Harley and Deadshot.
Those are the only two characters that I want to see back. Like, how are you going to have Captain Boomerang and not throw a boomerang? He throws two boomerangs in this whole thing. How are you going to have Killer Croc and just have him be this weird gray guy, and the only time he goes into water, it's just like 10 seconds? How are you going to have Diablo, which is one of the best characters?
It's okay, honey.
How are you going to have Diablo?
It's okay. Calm down.
Be one of this amazing character, mm-hmm. and then kill him.
Yep. No spoilers, but...
Listen, if you haven't seen Suicide Squad up to this point, you're not going to watch it.
You're not going to watch it. You're not going to care. So.
And if you're listening to this podcast, you've probably seen Suicide Squad.
Yeah, that's the likely scenario. But yeah, Suicide Squad, pass. Bye-bye. Next, Power Rangers.
Power Rangers was literally okay. I like Power Rangers. I really like Power Rangers. The original series is... Because they're like, they're like 24 of them or something like that.
Yeah, I lost count. Whatever.
I was never that They're
hardcore.
Very good. I like them. I can't tell you the entire mythos mm-hmm. of everything. I can't tell you a few things that the movie did right, but I can mm-hmm. tell you a lot of things that it did wrong. Mainly, most of it.
It was a lot.
I don't see it spinning off into another movie. We got teased. Mm. We got like a tease of the Green Ranger at the end of that movie.
Right.
I don't think anybody really cares about it.
No one really got excited or hyped or anything.
Not really. The only ones who got really excited, I got excited. My brother was like, why do you care? And I'm like, I don't know.
I don't know. I felt like feeling emotion.
Yeah, I was like, oh, it's green. He has a green jacket and he's not there. Who is he?
Anyways, that's what the writers do. It's like, oh, the audience is going to do this.
That. Honestly, the best part of that movie was Bryan Cranston playing Zordon.
Yeah.
Zordon's giant head.
Yeah, that was fun. I mean... Honestly, I saw that movie and I cringed the entire way.
Yeah.
And it was even more fun because then I did, you know how I do my commentary for, mm-hmm. bad movies in the actual movie theater.
Yeah.
It was pretty hilarious because I had support from the audience. So it was a whole support group happening, and we kind of bashed the movie.
Yeah, if you bash the movie together, it's fine.
It was a fun time in that sense.
Something I don't understand about this movie is, like, they made a whole big deal about the Yellow Ranger, about Trini being a lesbian,
mm-hmm.
right? And she's like, no one understands me. My family doesn't understand me. Your family, like, in the movie, her family legitimately just wants to have a conversation with her.
And she's just too emo.
She's like, I'm too cool for you. Don't talk to me. Blah. And the little brothers were like, you're so cool. They're, like, looking up to you, and you're just like, I'm a lesbian, so I gotta be moody. Don't do that. Your family, they look supportive and nice.
They were nice people. I would have dinner with them.
They were just like, we want to help you. Like, whatever.
I don't know. It was frustrating to look at. So, yeah. Moving on. Last on our list, which is
also made our list all three episodes, has been Ghostbusters.
Yay!
Lady Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters of all the ladies.
See, okay. I would like to mention this because I actually saw this a super long time ago, but I remembered it in this exact moment in time. There's this YouTuber who's not as famous and, you know, she's not pretentious and none of that. But I do look up to her because I do have some aspirations to be maybe someday a film director sort of a thing. Because I've always loved that project. So her name is Hazel Hayes. Hazel Hayes, if you're listening, I would die. I would cry. But anyways, she did a video actually discussing why this movie was just not good and how a Ghostbusters movie should have been made if you were going to change all the characters to women. And she went on with this whole story. Like, she gave you an entire plot that was fun. It was good. And I was just like, why didn't Warner Brothers... I always say Warner Brothers. Why didn't anyone who was making Ghostbusters hire you?
Was it Warner Brothers?
I don't know. It was probably Fox. It was one of those fat cats. So
Sony?
I don't care. Yes. So basically, the gist of it was that instead of having it be a reboot... Have it be a sequel.
That could have worked. I would have loved to see...
Have two of the women be daughters, of the original
yes,
Ghostbusters.
Yes, yes. I would have loved to see that. You know, it could have even worked if you had somebody be the daughter of Rick Moranis' character.
Mm-hmm.
Who just played like a joking character. Like, this would have worked so much better as a sequel. You could have had cameos.
Exactly, because we had great actresses for it. I thought the cast was great, but they weren't given the roles they deserved with their acting skills.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I vote for that. If they're ever gonna try and, you know, do that project again of having women be in a Ghostbusters movie, go along those lines, because I assure you the fans will appreciate it. It'll be a fun time if you have it be a sequel and just kind of a continuation with the story and have it be cool and fun with the good jokes.
Yeah, and they teased a sequel at the end of the first one. They teased something and I can't remember off the top of my head. They said, I'm going to Google it right now, but
we're actually going to Google the source.
Yeah. They made mention to something at the end, which basically made it seem like they're going to have another one. So a lot of people were like, don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Ghostbusters 2 Easter egg.
There you go.
2016.
It was last year. Yeah, that was last year.
Let's
see
what comes up.
Please stand by.
Giving you the music.
Yeah.
But anyway, anything else we want to talk about before I find it, because it'll be a while.
Yeah. Well, whilst he's doing that, let me see. These are crap franchises, but some of them are franchises that I hope just stay as crap franchises, because I don't want them to ever, ever be attempted again. That's how scarred I was.
Got it.
You got it?
Yeah, okay. I got it. They teased the character of Zool, which is what happened in the evil demon thing that possesses Sigourney Weaver in the first Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I was like really excited when I heard that, but then I was like not excited afterwards.
Yeah, because I don't understand why they couldn't just keep it as a continuation in the same universe, because it's kind of like, oh, there are new characters, there are new people. Oh, but it's these things happened actually in the first movie. Like, they didn't know what they wanted to do, and it was incredibly frustrating.
Yeah, you could have actually, like we keep saying it, you could have made it a sequel, and you could have made Zool the antagonist of the first of this new generation.
It would have been something to continue on. It's kind of like, okay, it's kind of like they didn't follow the Force Awakens steps.
That's exactly what I was going to say, that the Force Awakens basically was a soft reboot of this universe, but it was still a sequel. Movie. It was still a new movie with new characters and new plot lines, but it was a pseudo reboot. You could have done the same thing.
To ease this generation into this universe, because not everyone has seen the first Ghostbusters movie, even though they're cult classics, it's not as famous as, you say, Star Wars. And even then, they, you know, went through the effort of kind of, you know, quote-unquote rebooting A New Hope, but with a new story, new plot, new characters, etc. And it worked. I thought it worked beautifully, and yeah, that's what Ghostbusters really should have done in order to avoid that disaster.
Yeah. That's about it, right?
Yeah, that's really it for this week.
I mean,
it was kind of a slow news week.
It was kind of a slow news week. We didn't have much to talk about in terms of topics, because I kind of thought about this topic last minute after watching Transformers.
Yeah, Transformers really drained us.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, we're going to have a really fun week next week. As we mentioned earlier, it's going to be Spider-Man week, and I might even make Spider-Man theme, like, little graphics or something for fun, for funsies, for the lulz.
And then I might make some worse ones.
We'll have, should we have, like, a little, like, we do the Rogue Gallery and make our own little graphics and just kind of do a smackdown?
All right. Yeah, sure.
I think, honestly, I as bad as yours may be because it's on a phone and that I understand, they're still fun. I think they're memeable.
Mines are fun because they're bad, you know?
Exactly. That is the whole gist of it.
How do I get the description of our podcast?
Yeah, it doesn't show up on the...
What?
On the SoundCloud, yeah. But either way, our handles are, so you can follow us on Facebook.
Do you have them memorized?
Yeah.
Oh my god, you're a beast.
She's am. A beast. Excuse you, I used to be a YouTuber.
Perfifidal,
peef. Peefaff. We're trying to make that a thing.
That is our thing.
Yes, we say peef instead of perf, because I was tired once and I typoed it.
You typoed peef, and that's just... peef.
Yes, all we right. say peef. But anyways, follow us on Facebook. We're Beautiful Losers, comic book movies and TV news. And then on Twitter, our handle is B Loser Pod. It's not an extra L. B Loser Pod on Twitter. And then on SoundCloud, we're just Beautiful Losers Podcast. On iTunes, we're Beautiful Losers Podcast. So definitely check us out there.
It's beautiful. Like, if you type in, you can just soundcloud.com/beautiful-loser-podcast.
Or just
click the links on our Facebook page, which is where we recommend.
Exactly. And then check the description of this podcast now. We always add the handles in the description of each episode, but we like to mention them so you don't forget. So yeah, that's our Twitter, Facebook, SoundCloud, and our Instagram is at Beautiful Losers Pod. And I always mention our Snapchat, but I always forget our Snapchat. I'm pretty sure it's just B Loser Pod,
probably. And I almost forgot. This is kind of our first pseudo letters segment, because I mentioned while we were eating that we got a mini letter of somebody asking us, where would we put Edgar Wright in the DCEU? So I don't know. I forgot who you were. But
you're being mentioned.
You're being mentioned, and you know that this was you. So thank you for that.
You know who you are.
You know who you are. So where would you put Edgar Wright in the DCEU?
I forgot which one you mentioned during lunch, but the one I was thinking, kind of mainstream, was something Teen Titans. If we get an actual Teen Titans live action, in the DCEU instead of like a side thing, because you know how we have the Flash series, but obviously we're getting a Flash movie with a different actor. I would totally be down for that. Edgar Wright directing a Teen Titans movie, that if he's also, like, if he watches the Teen Titans animated series and just kind of goes along those lines of being really funny and endearing, but also really fun, action-packed, et cetera, I think that could work.
That could work. I was thinking more along the lines of Blue Beetle, but then again, Blue Beetle could also fit into the Teen Titans, because Blue Beetle is just a teenager
yeah
who will like before fighting a female villain will be like, hey, I don't want to fight you because you're pretty, you know. like that's funny.
Yeah, you know? It's funny in a misogynistic way, but it's still
it's
funny.
Misogynistic.
Because it's kind of like
but
Deadpool.
He's more just like a teenager going through puberty.
Yeah.
Who looks at a girl and just like.
He's still going through that stage.
Like, you're pretty.
You're pretty. You know? I don't want to fight you until she kicks his ass.
He doesn't go like into like a perverted stage. He's more just like.
He's not a Tony Stark.
Yeah, he's not. He's not a Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, we don't even say Tony Stark anymore. Nope. It's just Robert Downey Jr.
He's stuck. But
that was today's podcast.
That was today's podcast. That was our first letters. We're still looking for theme songs. We have a few candidates that we are reviewing. We might pick one from each, or we might just pick. You know, all of them from one.
Yes.
And whatever the case is, each winner will get the same prize.
Exactly. So definitely check that out. And it's a fun time. It's a cute little project with the theme song because it's either that or me repeatedly drumming a table. Yep. Or what's your option?
What? Oh, yeah. It's just going to be 5 minutes of, like, blood-curdling screams that either I can provide or I could, like, I don't know, maybe Uma Thurman would be up for it. Just, hey, Uma Thurman, scream into this mic.
I think she'd do it.
She would.
We could start the Kickstarter just for that.
Get Uma Thurman to scream into this mic. Anyway.
That's it.
That's pretty much it.
Thank you for listening. Seriously.
Thank you for putting up for us.
It means a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously, thank you guys. We say it often, but thank you guys for making this podcast what it is, because with us here, yeah, we have the podcast, but without you guys, we don't have an audience.
Exactly.
So you guys are the reason we do this.
Yeah, you guys are awesome, and you keep us going, so definitely keep listening, because fun things are happening.
They're on the way, and loyal fans will be getting a lot of stuff.
Exactly.
And a lot of news, and a lot of content, and we love you guys. So basically, just like we said, if you're a new listener, check us out on our handles, which we'll put in the description. Old listeners, thank you for being awesome. That's it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think we're just kind of rambling now.
We're just kind of rambling.
Yeah, goodbye.
All right, guys. Thanks for a good week.
Have a great
goodbye.
Day.